awesome. If you got your Bible, open it up wherever you like, because it's going to be good. Open it up to Matthew chapter 4. I want to read from verse 18 to 22. So this is the second week on the series of devotion, devoting our lives to Christ, living a life committed to God and just giving our absolute all to Him. And that's what I want to talk about tonight. So Matthew chapter 4, this is Jesus. This is about Jesus and He's asking people to follow Him. And I was thinking about devotion, and this is what I think the definition of devotion is when it comes to following God. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I'll send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed Him. Going on from there, He saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in the boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boat and their father and followed Him. I think the simple definition of devoting our lives to Jesus is to follow Him. Wherever He goes, we go. Whatever He says to do, we do. We follow Jesus. That's what devoting our lives to God is all about. And when you read the New Testament, and if you've read that, and you read through the life of the disciples, the followers of Jesus, you recognize, you realize that these guys, it wasn't easy for them. They weren't perfect followers of Jesus. But you read that so many times they messed up, so many times they made mistakes and did the wrong thing. And so I'd like to say, and I think we all know this, but devotion isn't easy. Following Jesus is not easy. It's not always easy getting up early in the morning to pray. It's not always easy turning off the TV or your iPad or the computer to read your Bible. It's not always easy to keep praying for your friends that you've been reaching out to for so long and nothing's happening. It's not always easy to keep praying. It's not always easy to come to life group when you know you're dealing with stuff, and if you really have to be honest, then you're going to have to bring that out into the open and deal with that. It's not always easy following Jesus. And I remember back when I was in school, later years of high school, I was a great cross-country runner, if I'm allowed to say so myself. I think I was, you know, not bad. And I remember I signed up for a half a marathon run. So that's 21 Ks running. And that, for me, that was a big deal. And I had to devote myself to training. I had to devote myself to lots and lots and lots of running so that I could compete in that race and actually just finish the race. I wasn't too worried about, you know, coming first or second. I just wanted to finish that thing. And that took a lot of training. And I remember times going out running, doing, building up to 18-kilometer runs. And I would go out running, and my friend would come with me on his bike, and he would have the little odometer that would let us know just how far we've gone. And I just remember doing that over and over, training for this big 21K run. And it came to the day, and yeah, I did it. I made it to the end, and I did not stop once. You know, that's probably the fittest I've ever been in my life. And that was just an awesome day. And I remember being in the zone of running, and it was just incredible. I felt like I could just keep going and going. And that happened because I devoted myself to training. On the other hand, I remember a time not long after that, at school when it was cross country. I remember coming first in cross country because I trained for that and put in the effort, and I made it to the next level, which I think we called zone. I'm not sure. It's like district, regional, one of those. And I trained really hard for that also. And I remember getting up early in the morning before school and going out for runs in the cold and getting my short shorts on and my running shoes and just getting out there running. But I remember one particular morning that there was this carload of girls just, you know, reversing out of the driveway. And here I'm running up the street, and that's embarrassing. I don't know why, it just is. And they're all just laughing at me, just pointing at me and laughing because here I am serious running. And I don't know why they were laughing at me, like maybe because I run like this. But, you know, they were laughing at me, and, you know, Sometimes when you devote yourself, people are going to laugh at you. And it's not easy to devote yourself. But I made it in that zone. I came seventh and qualified for the next round, which was state. And that's the furthest I've ever made it. And in fact, this wasn't state for just Christian schools. This is state for all schools. And Mitch, did you make it that year as well? You did. He's pretty good. So we both made it to state. But for some reason, I just lost all my motivation to keep training. I lost my devotion to keep training. I seriously thought to myself, you know what? I'll be okay. I'm pretty fit right now. I think I'll be able to compete in this race and do really well. And because I didn't train, well, it came to the day of cross-country state race, which was pretty amazing. And I remember Mum coming out to watch us. And not only that, my Nan and Pop came out to watch Mitch and I run. And that day I came second last in that race, which was probably the most embarrassing run I've ever done and the most humiliated I've ever felt in a running competition. It was simply because I didn't devote myself to training and getting up early and just continuing on training. The difference was devotion. I made the 21K run because I devoted myself, but this one, I just thought I would be okay. And you know, it's exactly the same in our Christian life, in our walk with God. The moment we think we're going to be okay, the moment we think, you know, I'm fit enough, it's okay if I don't make it to life group this week, I'm doing all right. It's okay if I don't make it to church this week because I'm doing all right. I'm pretty good. You know, I've got it happening. I'm reading my Bible, but, you know, it's okay if I miss this or skip that or don't journal today. And you know what happens? The moment we think we're good enough, the moment we think we're doing all right is the moment we start falling behind. And, you know, coming second last in a running race at the end of the day is not a big deal. But when it comes to our life with God, coming second last is a big deal. Coming second last could have heavy consequences in your life. And I want to encourage you with all that I am to devote your lives to Jesus, to follow Jesus for the rest of your lives and understand that it's not going to be easy, but it's going to be tough at times, but to keep pushing through because God has a great plan for your life. He wants to use you for awesome things. He's already written out every day for you that's just filled with blessing and filled with His empowerment over your life. He wants to use you to build His kingdom, and it's only going to take your devotion to Him and not giving up. And so I just want to encourage you with all I am tonight to not give up, to understand it's not easy, but you can do it with Jesus. Tonight, I particularly want to focus on warning signs that we need to be aware of as we're living our Christian life, so that if a warning sign comes up in our life as we're serving and devoting our life to God, we can recognize that, see that, and go, uh-oh. I've just started to do something that's not quite on the path that God has for me. And if I want to keep living a life devoted to God, then if I keep going down this path, it's going to compromise my devotion and stop me from serving God later on down the track. It might not look like much now, but I think experience shows that when people just keep going down that path, it only destroys their devotion to God. And so I want to talk about warning signs. We see warning signs all over the place on the road. We see warning signs, well, I hope none of us see warning signs particularly close on cigarette packets, but you see the ads, and it says, if you keep smoking these cigarettes, you're going to get cancer, and you're going to decrease your lifespan, which is pretty crazy. It's a warning sign, and I want to say there's warning signs that God puts in our lives that say, if you're going to keep going down this path, you're going to keep doing this, then this is going to be destructive to you. This is going to compromise your devotion to God. This is going to affect the life that you have with God and the plan and the potential that He has for your life. Warning signs. I pray that at the end of tonight, you would be able to recognize and be aware of warning signs so that you can live a smart life, a wise life, and understand where you are, what's going on in your life, and recognize these things so that you can stay on the narrow path that God has called you to live. So in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 1 to 4, this is Paul speaking to the Corinthian church. And at the time, this church is going through some stuff. They've got a lot of issues going on. And not only that, but they've had people, men, come in as false apostles, teaching a Jesus that wasn't consistent with what Paul taught and wasn't consistent with what Jesus did. And so if you want to go there, you can read it with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 1 to 4. This is Paul speaking. It's a letter to the church. I hope you will put up with me in a little foolishness. Yes, please put up with me. I am jealous for you with a godly jealousy. I promised you to one husband, to Christ, so that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. For if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. I want to speak on three different warning signs that I think come out of this little passage of Scripture, and pray that we would really understand these and look out for these in our life. If we want to live a life devoted to God for the long haul, for the rest of our lives, then we can't just live it casually. We can't just think it's going to be okay, you know, we'll get there in the end. The truth is that as Christians, we need to be really disciplined in our lifestyle. We need to just have a straight path in front of us and not let ourselves be distracted or tempted by things to the left or the right. And, you know, I don't know if I'm sounding really encouraging, but this is just the truth of the matter. That if you want to live for Jesus, that, you know, as awesome as it is, and it is the best life you could ever live, it does take commitment and it does take devotion. It does take tough choices in your life to make. So the first warning sign I think that Paul is talking about in this scripture is number one, I think it might come up, warning. Everyone shout out, warning.
Morning.
What morning? That's what it sounded like. Is Jesus still number one? Is Jesus still number one? He said to them, I promised you to one husband, to Christ, that I might present you as a pure virgin to him. They committed their lives to Jesus. They made Jesus number one in their life. And Paul was afraid that with all the issues and the things going on in this church and the people coming in and distracting them, that Jesus wasn't quite number one. He didn't have that number one place in their life that Jesus did have when they first came to know him and give their lives to him. And I think a huge warning sign that we absolutely need to recognize as we're living this life, as we're making decisions about our future, as we're, in relationships with different people, whether it's boyfriend, girlfriend, or, you know, other relationships, and we're making big decisions in our life, we need to make sure, is Jesus still number one? Because if Jesus isn't number one, then you're not going to live a life devoted to him. Jesus needs to be number one in your life. It needs to be all about Jesus. He needs to be the center of your world, the center of your life. Everything you do, Jesus, this is for you. Everything that I'm about, it's for Jesus. You know, if you want to live this life, Jesus has to be at number one. And devotion is a powerful, powerful thing. In fact, Jesus says in the book of Luke, chapter 16, verse 13, he's talking about money here. He says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Devotion is a powerful thing. And I remember back when I was younger, I used to love Holdens, but I'd hate Fords. Holdens were awesome. They were the best car, the best looking car. They were quicker and better looking than Fords. And I just hated Fords, but I loved Holdens. And that's what devotion's like. You're going to love something that you're devoted to, but completely reject and despise what you're not devoted to. And so if Jesus is not number one, maybe he's up there, but he's not number one. You're actually beginning to put something else up there that you're going to start to devote your life to, And you might not see this now or might not think it's going to happen, but because devotion is so powerful and you've put something else up there, your life is all becoming more about that. You're making decisions that, you know, revolve more about that, around that. And all of a sudden, you used to love Jesus, but now you despise him. And I want to encourage you to look for that warning sign in every decision you make. Look for that warning sign in everything that you do. Because if Jesus is not number one, then you're going to end up despising him later on down the track. You might not think so now. You know, no, I'll be fine. Don't worry about it. And we've heard that so many times in life group and so on. If Jesus is not number one, you'll go from loving him to despising him. And that is the last thing we want to see happen in our lives. That's the last thing I want to see happen in the young people of this church. A church that was full of young people that were just on fire for Jesus and just passionate for Jesus. But all of a sudden, their social world became more important to them, and they would spend more time going to parties, or, you know, it doesn't have to be massive things like that, but they'll spend more time doing this or doing that at the cost of youth or the cost of life group. And before you know it, and we've seen it time and time again, you go from a passionate Christian, a passionate, devoted follower of Christ to someone who despises the church and would rather do something completely different. And that is a warning sign that I want you guys to really understand and really be aware of as you make decisions in your life and as you live out this life devoted to God. Is Jesus still number one? Number two, warning. Are you living inside your boundaries? I think another warning sign is, as we're devoting our life to God and living for him and putting him first and just making everything about him, we need to live within the boundaries that God has set for our lives. And the moment we step outside of those boundaries and start playing with the things on the edge and try to push the boundaries and try to experience this and experience that, as soon as we step outside of those boundaries, it's the moment that our devotion could be greatly compromised, and we go from loving Jesus to despising Jesus because we stood outside, we played outside the boundaries that God had put in our life. I'm talking about real boundaries, like having boundaries to maintain your purity in your life. So in relationships, having really strict boundaries on maintaining purity so that you will not, you know, do things that you're going to regret later on and have to pay heavy consequences for. I'm being pretty serious tonight, aren't I? But this is for your good. And you need to live within these boundaries, because if you start to live outside the boundaries, then you're going to compromise your devotion to Christ. And as Christians, we need to be wise and we need to be intelligent and aware of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so that as we're living for him, we need to be able to know, hey, I kind of think I might be stepping outside these boundaries right now. I need to realign my life back to the narrow path that God has for me. In this scripture that Paul was, you know, in this letter that Paul wrote to the church, he's saying, I'm afraid, guys, that just as Eve, remember Adam and Eve, was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ. I'll go back to the story of Adam and Eve and just read a little snippet of that from Genesis chapter 3. Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat from any tree in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die." "You will not certainly die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food, pleasing to the eye, and desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her and ate it. These guys stood outside the boundaries that God has set in their life. And the crazy thing is that, like, think of, like, Wollongong Botanical Gardens. There are just loads and loads and loads of trees. And this was the Garden of Eden, sorry. And this was massive, and it was incredible and beautiful, and just huge trees everywhere, and just lots and lots of fruit on all these different trees, lots and lots of good trees, but there was only just one tree they were not allowed to eat from. There was lots and lots of good trees. This is the boundary that God has set for your life. Stay inside here. You can eat from any of these trees, but don't touch this one tree. And because they were deceived and stood outside the boundary that God had set in their lives, well, they were deceived as soon as they stood outside those boundaries and compromised their devotion to God. And God was trying to protect them. God was trying to look after his children. He's saying, hey, don't eat from this tree, because if you eat from this tree, all of a sudden you will know what evil is. It's the tree of good and evil. And I don't want you to know what evil is. How much better would this world be if there was no evil, if we didn't know what evil was and we just done good things? And he was trying to protect them from this. And boundaries in our lives, God uses to protect us. He loves us and he wants the best from us. He's not trying to box us in. He's not trying to limit us, but he's trying to release us so that we can experience all that he's got for us. When I think of like an airplane flies in the sky, and it reaches up to speeds like 1,000 kilometers an hour and can travel around the world. But it can't do that on the ground. And so there's a limitation and a boundary for the aeroplane to do that. But it can't do it on the ground. And I'd like to say that God has set boundaries so that you can reach the potential in your life. And if you stick to those boundaries and stick to living in those limits that God has set for you, that you will go incredibly far and do amazing things for God. Just like a plane will reach its full potential in the air, you will reach your full potential in the boundaries that God has set in your life. And I would encourage you as young people to know what those boundaries are. Read the Bible and know what the boundaries God has set in your life are. Boundaries like purity, boundaries like, you know, not being influenced by peer pressure and saying, no, I'm not going to be involved in that type of lifestyle because I've got boundaries in my life and I know that God can only use me if I'm living inside this and being devoted to him. But as soon as I step outside those boundaries, I'm compromising my devotion to God. And you need to be able to recognize those warning signs that are going to be right in front of you saying, hey, if you continue down this path, it's going to be destructive. It's going to destroy all that God has done in your life. It's going to, you know, compromise the purpose and the potential of your future. You've got to look for these warning signs. Don't go further down the path. Don't just walk past these warning signs thinking, yeah, I'll be okay. I'll be all right. Because the consequences are heavy and it's just not worth it. God is full of grace and he'll forgive you and he'll get you back on track. But just think how far you could have gone if you just, you know, seen that warning sign and said, all right, I think I'm not in the right place right now. I'm going to realign myself, pick myself up and put myself back where God wants me to. Man, what an amazing person that would be to be able to, you know, recognize that, see that, you know, they're in a situation that's not quite right, they've put themselves into and they pick themselves out of that and, you know, place themselves where God wants them to be. So that's the second warning sign. Are you living inside the boundaries that God has set for your life? Number three, warning. Are you tolerating destructive things in your life? When we look at this letter that Paul wrote to the church in 2 Corinthians 11, he says this, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preach, or if you receive a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. This was a church and there was men coming in preaching a Jesus that wasn't consistent with the real Jesus and what he actually done. These guys were actually taking advantage of the church and using the people in the church. Earlier in 2 Corinthians, in chapter 2, it says, Paul says, unlike so many, talking about these men coming into the church, we do not peddle the word of God for profit. These guys were coming in to take advantage of people in the church, take their money to preach a Jesus that wasn't you know, the real Jesus, to preach a gospel that wasn't the real gospel. And they were just tolerating it. They were just letting it happen. They were just saying, you know, just allowing that to happen in their lives. And I think a warning sign that we need to be totally aware of if we want to live a life devoted to God is we need to see the warning sign saying, hey, if you keep tolerating this thing in your life, if you keep putting up with it, it's going to affect your devotion. It's going to destroy your devotion. This passion, this love you have for Jesus, if you keep putting up with this sin that you know you are doing and you just feel like you're trapped in it, if you just keep putting up with that, keep tolerating that, it's going to have a heavy price to pay on your devotion to God. Things that we tolerate in our lives is sin, number one. And sin starts small, but we know the wages of sin are death, is what the Bible says in Romans. And so it might start small and it might seem okay. And you think, you know, I can deal with this, or I'm, you know, whatever. But it's going to lead you down a path that's going to be destructive and just kill off the potential in your life and destroy the dreams that you had in your life to serve, you know, that God put in there to serve Him and do incredible things for Him. Don't tolerate that. God, if you feel trapped in a sin, if you feel trapped in something that you're doing that's not right, and you know it's not right, but you just think, man, I can't get out of this. Well, I guess this is just who I am. I guess this is just how it's going to be for the rest of my life. No, God is the God of breakthrough. God is the God who can set us free from all things. Jesus died for your freedom. Jesus wants you to live free from any sin, free from anything that's binding you and holding you back. God can set you free from that. And if you're just tolerating that and you're just putting up with that, you're compromising your devotion to God. And if you want to live this for the long haul, if you want to serve Jesus and follow Jesus for the rest of your life, then it's time to deal with that if that's for you. It's time to, you know, get rid of that sin, that those problems in your life. Maybe you're tolerating voices. Maybe you're tolerating people at school or university or work, wherever it is for you, and you're tolerating just the negative rubbish that comes out of their life that speaks down on you and just, you know, doesn't value you at all, and, just speaks such rubbish over your life, and you're tolerating that, and you're staying there because you want to be part of the cool crowd, or, you know, you want to stay there because you think it's the right thing to do, and you got to love the people and be there, and but, you know, you don't have to put up with that stuff in your life. You don't have to put up with negative voices that are going to compromise your devotion to Christ. You don't have to live with that. And if you do, it's going to compromise and destroy your devotion to God. And I want to encourage you guys, don't put up with it. I follow this lady on Twitter. I can't remember her name, but she's like this Christian doctor on the mind. And she's, you know, really smart about brain stuff. I'm not, obviously. And anyway, she said that basically you have control of what happens in your mind. And so she said something along the lines of you are the landlord of like the real estate in your mind. And so if you've got all these negative thoughts and you're speaking down over yourself, well, you actually have control of that. And if that's happening, then you're letting that happen. And you don't need to let that happen. You don't need to tolerate that anymore. You can come to God and ask for His help and get help from the people in your life group and godly leadership and, you know, see breakthrough in that. You don't have to tolerate negative voices from yourself or from other people in your life. If you tolerate things, then it's going to compromise your faith in Jesus. And I think that if we want to devote our lives to Him and live a life, you know, devoted, following Jesus, we need to see that warning sign. Hey, am I tolerating this destructive thing in my life? Is this something that I'm tolerating? And you got to see that. And if you want to live this life for the rest of your life following Jesus, you got to see that and deal with it as soon as possible before you get too far down that path where it's just so destructive and, you know, you've just tolerated such negativity and such destruction that, you know, your life is nowhere near the potential and the purpose that God has for you. These are warning signs that I think that as young people, we really need to see. And, you know, this might not sound really exciting and pump you up, but this is real. This is what it's about. If you want to live a life devoted to God, you've got to recognize these things in your life. You've got to be wise. You've got to be aware of what the Holy Spirit is speaking to you into your heart so that you can see these things and realign yourself onto the right path. I want to finish with this scripture from Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 to 14, and this is Jesus speaking. He says, "Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it." I want to say you can't really take this Christian life casually. I mean, it's heaps of fun, it's awesome, it's incredible, it's the best life you'll ever live, but you can't take it casually and think, you know, I'll be all right, I'm heading in the general direction. God, He's got a narrow path for your life, a narrow path that if you were to stay in that and live inside that narrow path, you will go further and further than anything that, you know, you could do in this world without God. But if you stay in the narrow path and don't just sort of think, you know, I'll just head in the general direction and I'll get there in the end. No, God has a narrow path for you. And we need to be able to see warning signs in our life so that if we begin to sort of, you know, head to this direction or head to this direction, we can go, hey, hang on, I'm heading off the narrow path. I might be heading in the general direction. I might be still reading my Bible and coming to church every now and then. But all of a sudden, I'm just tolerating this sin in my life that's happening and going on. Or maybe Jesus isn't quite number one, but you know what, I'll keep coming to church and keep doing the right things. And you're sort of going in the general direction, but you're slowly heading far away from Jesus. He's got a narrow path for your life. And you can do it. Guys, you can do it. You can live a life that's devoted to Jesus for the rest of your life. If you would recognize these warning signs, stay connected with God, stay committed to your attendance in church and life group and getting stuck into your Bible, you can do it with the help of the Spirit. This is not impossible. This is possible with God, and He wants you to do it. He's just got so much good stuff for you. He knows the plans He has for you, plans for a future and a hope, not plans to harm you, but plans of a future and a hope. But it happens on the narrow path. It happens in a devoted life that keeps Jesus number one all the time. A life that is lived inside the boundaries that God has set for us, and a life that doesn't tolerate destructive things. And if we can recognize those warning signs, I think our lives will be incredible and God will do amazing things through us. Let's pray. God, we honor you, Lord. We lift you up. You are incredible, and we love you, and we just thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross to save us from our sins, Lord. That, Jesus, you are full of grace, and regardless of any mistakes that we've made, God, your grace is big enough, and we can live in that grace and be set free from anything and live to the full potential that you created us for, God. Lord, I pray that this would be a church full of young people, Lord, that are devoted to you, Jesus. I pray it would be a church full of young people who commit their lives to follow you, Jesus, and don't just live it casually, God, but are serious about it, Lord, and just totally want to give their absolute all to you, Jesus, and make sure you're always number one, Jesus. And young people who are bold enough and courageous enough to live inside the boundaries and not sort of play outside and do what the world's doing, but, you know, bold enough to live inside the boundaries that you have set, God, for our lives. And I pray that this would be a church, Lord God, that where young people don't tolerate sin, they don't tolerate negative voices, they don't tolerate like sickness and anything that sort of holds us back and limits us, God, but we wouldn't tolerate that, God, but we would be set free from that, God. We would seek you, God, and you would work in our lives, God, and we would live free from that in Jesus' name, God. I pray for a church full of young people who are devoted to you, God, who are committed, who love you, Jesus, and just want to give their absolute all to you. Oh, Lord, I thank you for your presence here right now. And we don't have long, so if anything that I've just said or anything that God has just said has really struck a chord in your life, and maybe you've just recognized a warning sign that, you know, maybe you just, you know, it's just starting to head off the path. we're not going to take long. If that's you, just stick your hand up and say, yes, God, I recognize a warning sign in my life. I just need help with this right now. If that is you, if the Holy Spirit is moving in your heart, have the boldness and courage to just put it up and say, yes, God, that's me. I need your help, God. I need your help. I can't do this on my own. Thank you, Lord. That's awesome. That's fantastic. Wow, I love it when the Spirit speaks, not just the preacher or the speaker, but the Spirit speaks into people's lives. And it's just awesome to see response tonight to the work of God. That's awesome. That's fantastic. God is working. Lord, I thank you for those people that raised their hands, Lord. Mighty God, I pray that you would help them. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you would fill them and you would strengthen them, God, and you would help them to live a life that is devoted to you, God, one that is committed to you, one that can recognize warning signs, Lord, that are just, you know, in front of us saying, hey, if you continue down this path, it's not going to look pretty. Lord, I pray for those people, and I just pray, God, you would be with them and strengthen them, help them, God, to live this life. Because it isn't easy, God, but I thank you that with the Holy Spirit we can do it. And God, that it is the best life that we could ever live, God. And that we will go so much further with you, God. We will reach the potential that you have for us, that you created us for, Lord, when we devote ourselves to you and when we seek you and put you first in our lives, God. We love you, Jesus, and you're number one in our lives, Lord. We're going to finish by praying a simple but powerful prayer that's all about knowing Jesus. And if you don't know Jesus and you want to have a relationship with him, you want to commit your life to Jesus. Wow, that's awesome. If you want to do that, then we're all going to pray this prayer together that's up on the screen, but you really mean that in your heart and speak to the person that you came with or speak to someone that you connect with here. So here we go. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life, and I will follow you. Amen. Awesome. Why don't you hop to your feet? We're going to finish with some praise and worship. It's going to be awesome.